San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, September 27, 2020. Today's lesson is Cosmic Library with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. What comes to mind when I hear those two words together, Cosmic Library? What pictures or impressions flash across my imagination? If there was such a thing or a place as a cosmic library, what would it look like? What would it feel like? If your eyes are still closed, you may open them now. Is anyone willing to share what pictures came to mind when you think about Cosmic Library?
Like the galaxy, but with like headphones connected to it.
The galaxy with headphones connected to it.
Just infinite intelligence. The answers are always right there at hand.
Infinite intelligence. The answers are always right there at hand. Night vision of the Milky Way. That's okay. It's okay. So now think about this. Where did those visions, those pictures, those ideas, those concepts, where did they come from? Where did you find them? Those visions and pictures came from your imagination, didn't they? Yes. Yes, they did. You imaged those pictures from your imagination. There was something in your memory that called up those images when I asked you to think about them and your imagination filled in the blanks. Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, says, imagination carries with it feeling and conviction. Imagination awakens within us all the inner forces of nature and stirs into action latent powers which otherwise would have never come to the surface. Let me repeat that first part. Imagination stirs into action latent powers which otherwise would never have come to the surface. So what Dr. Holmes is saying here is that all of those images of stars and planets and galaxies and infinite intelligence, universe with the headset on, they're there all the time. All those images are already there all the time. They only came to the surface because I asked you to call them up. Now, I didn't ask you to call up stars. I didn't ask you to call up the Milky Way. I asked you to call up your image of the cosmic library. So I doubt if everybody here this morning was already thinking about books and stars and planets and galaxies before this morning's service. But you might have been. You might have been. There's no restrictions on the one mind. Now here's something else for you to think about. How many of you here this morning did have similar images of books, stars, planets, galaxies, and even satellites running through your mind when I asked you to imagine a cosmic library? Okay? How could that be? How could that be? We're all individuals, right? All of us were on the same quest. All of us were on a quest for knowledge when I asked that question. our minds began actively searching the archives for images to call up into our imagination. And most everyone had something similar, something sort of kind of alike in their imagination of what a cosmic library might look like, where it might be, what the information might come from as a source. Now, what I'm about to say is the essence of this whole lesson this morning. So, you know, if you want, you can write this down and then leave, because I'm done. But no, no. Those images, those pictures and information that flashed across your consciousness are stored somewhere. Those images, pictures, and information that flashed across your consciousness are stored somewhere. And that somewhere is located everywhere. It's the one mind of God consciousness, where the center is everywhere and the circumference is nowhere. Center is everywhere and the circumference is nowhere, because it cannot be contained. It is always fully present, complete, in every point. So what I'm actually saying is, God is all there is. All knowledge and wisdom resides in the one power, the one presence, and the one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. Where did we hear that before? Where did we read that before? It's right in our Declaration of Principles. Now, you and I live and we move and we have our being in this infinite creative intelligence of spirit. That which is infinite cannot be divided against itself. The wholeness of God is present at any and every point within itself. And since the infinite is infinite, there is nothing else. There is only the infinite divine. It's not approaching a point or receding from it, but it's always at the point of divine creativity. The one mind of God consciousness, whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere, is omniscient, omnipresent. It is all-knowing, it is everywhere present. And it is also omnipotent, it is all-powerful. That means something very simple. There is no place where God is not. There is not a spot where God is not. God is in all, through all, and is all. All that we experience in life. In all, through all, and is all that we experience in life. Our CSL home office is working toward a world that works for everyone. That's a vision. And this past week, one of my colleagues had this great revelation. She said she always considered herself a light worker, that she was shedding the light, sharing the light, being the light and teaching. And suddenly it occurred to her that all of those people that she thought were the darkness think that they are the light. And she was having this torment in her mind. If I'm the light, and I totally believe it, are they the dark? Or if they totally believe that they're the light, am I the dark? And it was just this crisis of spiritual confidence for her. Well, the good news is everybody is the light. And God is in every circumstance. So if I call myself a light worker and I teach these things, God is in that. God is fully present in that. If someone believes a different way, has a different set of beliefs, and yet totally believes that theirs is the right way, God is in there. And there is enlightenment and awareness for us all. I'm not right. I am only teaching that which I have become aware of. Neither am I wrong. So God is in everything. And we remember that the essence of God is who we are. In the discussions around my colleagues' quandary, people were bringing up some of our early teachings and saying, if we're all God and we're all good, was Hitler God? And it's like, well, they came up with this great explanation, which was, well, yes, Hitler had the God essence in him, but he wasn't being good and he wasn't helping people, so it's okay to say bad things about him and put him down. Now, from a human perspective, absolutely. Absolutely. The man did terrible things and he ordered terrible things to be done. But when you go deep into the spiritual truth, what we know is that Hitler, like every other person who has committed atrocities or been responsible for atrocities, has within them that divine light. It can be awakened. They can access all of this wisdom in the cosmic library, but maybe they're just not ready. So it's okay. We all do exactly what we can. We are all spiritual beings, and this is available to all of us. That which is infinite cannot be divided against itself. The wholeness of God is present at any and every point within itself. So that wholeness of God is in all of us. It is us. Because there's no place where God is not. There's not a spot where God is not. Everybody got that? Sometimes it's a challenging principle, but when we try and get all of our human egos and thoughts and judgments and preferences and stuff out of the way and step into a deep spiritual knowing, then all of the concern for the outside stuff lessens its importance in our life, as we know that we simply wake up and say, what is mine to do? Man is in God and God is in man. Just as a drop of water is in the ocean is in the drop of water, is of the same essence. And so all of us think into this universal and creative mind of God. And because we are individualized centers of God consciousness, we all have access to this universal cosmic library of knowledge and wisdom. Isn't that neat? You come with your own automatic library card. It's part of your DNA. And that would be why most of you imagine stars or planets when I said the word cosmic, and perhaps saw images of books when I said library. And here's where it gets really interesting. If I were to say, imagine a picture of a tree, and do that right now, imagine a picture of a tree. Some of you might see a maple tree, an apple tree, a jacaranda tree, or a palm tree, or a pine tree. Maybe you envision a mighty oak or a giant redwood. Many of us have a reference point for a tree, and yet we individualize the tree according to the images that we have in our memories. And that's another word for cosmic library. Is this making any sense to you? Yes? Yes, good. It's been said that everything you see, touch, hear, and experience is the result of mind in action. Capital M, mind in action. Everything you see, touch, hear, think, believe, and experience is the result of mind in action. And that's why your mind actively seeks a picture or an image when I say elephant, camel, or dog. And so what does that image call up in your mind? Does the elephant have large ears, like it's from Africa, or small ears, like it's from India? Does the camel have one or two humps? Is the dog a black lab, a shepherd collie, a beagle? Is it a teacup dachshund? It all depends on what shelf you pull your image from, you pull your information from in the cosmic library. It all depends upon which file you use from your mind's eye or your memory files, much like a computer program. The universal mind takes on the impress of your thoughts and acts upon them, regardless of your intent or your situation. You're surrounded by a great universal thought process, the divine creative process, and it returns to you all that you think, all that you say, and all that you believe. The storehouse of all knowledge and all wisdom lies within you. It lies within you. The cosmic library itself is located within your own consciousness. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we had to come up with a picture of what would the cosmic library look like in our own consciousness? Immediately we'd all have these gigantic heads trying to encompass the entire universe and all these little bodies, because we think of it as associated with thinking and our head and our brain and the mind. The storehouse of all knowledge and wisdom resides within you. The cosmic library itself is located within your own consciousness. And it's your individual responsibility and your divine right to activate and direct the law of mind into expression. So how can that be? Well, there's one mind. That mind is God's mind now. That mind is God's mind. That mind is my mind now. Let me repeat that. There is only one mind. That mind is God's mind. That mind is my mind now. Because I only have one mind to think into. And it contains everything. And so my mind is one with the universal mind. That applies to each one of you. Your mind is one with the universal mind. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. Think of all the things you know that you don't know you know. It's a proven scientific process of practical spirituality that we call the science of mind. We believe that God is the infinite spirit that permeates all life, and that there's a law of mind which responds to our thought, our faith, and our conviction. It's the intelligence that flows through me that allows me to speak these words, and the intelligence that allows you to hear and to understand the words that I speak. We have a prayer that we use. Let whatever needs to be said be said. Let whatever needs to be heard be heard. Because we know that everybody listens with their own filters, and everyone speaks with their own filters. So that deep truth, let it be that deep truth that is expressed in words that touch your soul and are meaningful to you. The one mind of God is the infinite intelligence that beats my heart, that contains all the mathematical equations and all information that allows the planets to orbit the cosmos and the galaxies to spiral into infinity. And it's that one power and presence that inspired you to be here this morning at the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. The one power and presence. Showing up in many different ways, as a friend inviting you, as seeing it online, and all these different things. But still, the one power and presence inspired you to be right here, right now. And we are truly grateful. If you're willing, I'd like you to place your hand over your heart and affirm with me these words of wisdom. There is only one mind. That mind is God's mind. That mind is my mind now. And so it is. So take a deep cleansing breath and release it. Because you just acknowledged a very powerful and deep spiritual truth. God's mind is your mind now. The good news is it always has been. So let's take a closer look at this concept of a cosmic library that we all have access to. Where does all the knowledge of the universe come from, and how can we access this divine knowledge? Is that a good question? Anybody have an idea? Okay. Well, if you remember back to the first Superman movie, it begins with the scene of Marlon Brando as the infant's father from Krypton, and he's whispering all the knowledge of the universe to his son's subjective mind as he travels through time and space in his star capsule. And if you're too young to remember the movie, I'm sure it's available somewhere. It's as if all the secrets of the universe are implanted within humankind as we travel through the birth canal and spend the rest of our lives trying to remember the wisdom that we were born with. How many of you are familiar with the term Akashic Records? Okay, universally. All right. Akasha is a Sanskrit word meaning sky, space, or ether. The Akashic Record is a term used in theosophy to describe a compilation of all the mystical knowledge encoded in a non-physical plane of existence. These records are described as containing all knowledge of human experience, including the history of the cosmos. They're metaphorically described as a library, a cosmic library. Other analogies commonly found in discourse on this subject include a universal supercomputer, a universal mind of God, which our philosophy teaches, it's a universal collection of all that is known. I went to a workshop by somebody who does the Akashic Records, and some of their books are here in the bookstore. And the thing that this person mentioned was, not only is there an Earth Akashic Records, but there is an Akashic Records system for each planet. And for each of those planets to gather together in solar systems, there is an Akashic Record that contains all of that. And for all the galaxies, there is another that contains all of the information on the galaxies. So while we can look at all of the information in the Akashic Records on Earth, those also are connected to those of other planets, those of the greater entities, the solar system and the galaxies. So if we want to dive into this cosmic library, it's not just about us, not just about our planet. It's the whole darn universe. And of course, how could it not be? How could it not be? It's been said that Siddhartha had attained enlightenment as the Buddha because he was able to remember all the details by accessing them from the Akashic Records as he sat under the Bodhi tree. Jesus was thought to have access to this knowledge when he proclaimed, "I and the Father are one, and the kingdom of heaven is within." See, that wasn't common knowledge on the planet at that time. That was higher knowledge. That was divine knowledge. Plato, Socrates, Shakespeare, Oprah, Chopra, The Wizard of Oz, Scarecrow, and you and I all have access to this indwelling knowledge. This indwelling wisdom. It's right there. It's within you. Some of you might be familiar with Emma Curtis Hopkins. She was known as the teacher of teachers in the New Thought, early New Thought movement, and she wrote the classic book titled High Mysticism, The Scientific Christian Mental Practice. That was one of our textbooks in my studies it was just in my regular studies. I don't think we covered that book again in practitioner school, or in ministerial school. But it was in our roots classes, the roots of science and mind. Emma proclaimed that the world in which we live is the exact record of our thoughts, which means that our thoughts become our reality. And the great French philosopher, mathematician, and physicist, René Descartes, he said it best when he wrote, and everybody knows this one, "I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I exist." Now, Dr. Ernest Holmes has several writings on the subject of divine mind and thinker behind the thought. On pages 72 and 73 in the Science of Mind textbook, he says, "The first great discovery man made was that he could think. That was the day when he first said, 'I am.' This marked his first day of personal attainment. From that day, man became an individual and had to make all further progress himself. From that day, there was no compulsory evolution. He had to work in conscious union with life. He goes on to write, man's first discovery of his ability to think was taken as a matter of fact. He had always been able to think. It was proof that he existed. It gave him the ability to know his needs and to supply them. It appeared to be an automatic thing. It came with him and would doubtless die when he died. The brain seemed to be the organ of thought. And of course, when death stilled the brain, it would no longer operate. However, a day came when some wise man claimed that it is not the brain that does the thinking. For if the brain could think, it would keep on thinking when removed from the body. Yet without a brain, a man could not think. Which proved that something beyond the brain, behind the brain, used it as an instrument. Man does think, so behind the brain there must be a thinker. But where is the thinker? We do not see him. Have we a right to say there is a thinker when we have never seen him? Yes. Yes, for the proof of this reality is the evidence of his thought. Back of the organism is the thinker and the doer, the mind. This was the greatest discovery of all time, for it meant that the body without the thinker could not function. The body without the thinker could not function. Now this is from the textbook also. These are on pages 390 and 391. You know, Ernest Holmes was an amazing guy. He had an insight and a spiritual wisdom that was so beneficial for all of those who now follow his teachings. Ernest says, the mind of man is some part of the mind of God. Therefore, it contains within itself unlimited possibility of expansion and self-expression. The mind of God is infinite. The mind of man is some part of this infinite creative mind of God. Therefore, the mind of man is as infinite as is man's capacity to understand his true relationship to God or Spirit. The mind of man is continuously unfolding into a greater recognition of its real plan in the creative order of the universe. It does not yet comprehend its own power or scope, but it does know in some measure to consciously cooperate with the infinite. Because the mind of man is the mind of God in man, the mind of man is conscious and directive. It is to man what God is to the universe. God is spirit, that is, without parts, a universal unity and wholeness. God is mind, a self-knowing mind of God, is the spirit of God, and at the same time, the spirit of man. Man in its self-knowing state is spirit. The mind of God and the mind of man is the same man. I'm going to repeat that one. The mind of God and the mind of man is the same mind. The conscious mind of man is part of the self-knowingness of the mind of God. The conscious mind of man is the self-knowingness of spirit operating through the thought of man, hence its creativeness. So he said the same thing over and over in slightly different words, and the bottom line is, it's all one. there's one mind, that mind is God's mind, and that mind is my mind now. I invite you to tap into that cosmic library that resides within you. Whenever you have a question, ask. Ask the question. And that mind, that cosmic library, that one mind must answer you. It is compelled to answer you. That's how the universe works. Become an active participant in the creative order of the universe. And remember, a person may be a walking encyclopedia without possessing any power of value or any humility. So just because we know things doesn't mean that we are the be-all, end-all. There are always more things to know. What is most important is to know the truth, to feel, to express, to create. I can know that that's a plant, but unless I do something with that knowledge, it's just a data point. If I do something with my knowledge, if I say, let me water it, let me nurture it, let me allow it to be a part of healing the planet or helping the planet, then it's not just knowledge, it becomes wisdom. The great statesman and philanthropist Napoleon Hill said it this way: never give in to the temptation of showing off your knowledge. Every time you open your mouth to talk, you either give away too much or show how little you actually know. We had, I had some friends who, of course, were not politically correct or spiritually correct or anything over my lifetime. I mean, everybody grows up, everybody has people who make smart aleck remarks. And so I remember one of them being, when somebody says that you're wrong, don't open your mouth and prove it to them. If somebody says you're stupid, don't open your mouth and prove it to them. Just let it go. And what that was supposed to be guiding us to was to not take anything personally, to not get up in arms, to not arise to argue for the sake of arguing, because we may not have understood it in the first place. If we took it personally, we're taking it personally through our own filters. And it is our filters that keep us from seeing clearly. So I invite you to use the knowledge, the wisdom in the cosmic library. Use that all with wisdom and spiritual discernment. Be open. Be receptive to the infinite mind of God that makes all things possible. Be open to the infinite mind of God that makes all things possible. So join us next week as we begin a new month and a new theme for October, New Thought, Ancient Wisdom. And my talk will be The Roots of New Thought. We have new calendars out for you to take home with you. And so thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.